Okay, we're going to get started. Hi, I'm Don. I'm an addict, and among other things, I'm the regional delegate alternate from San Diego Imperial County region here, the region that's hosting this event. We are going to discuss 5 of the 12 concepts of service in NA today, which I like to call the backbone of our service structure, including the NA group, the service delivery throughout the local NA community. To get us started, I have a few questions to ask of everybody. What is the most important service position in our service structure? All right, our answer was the GSR, and that's correct. Okay, next question. Can anyone describe the difference between an NA group and an NA meeting?
A group meeting is an event by the group.
That also is correct. The answer was an NA meeting is sponsored by an NA group. Okay, next question is, how many people know what the Guide to Local Service is? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have about 11 out of 25 in this room. Okay. Of those 11, how many consider that they have a very good understanding of the Guide to Local Service? 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. So 50% of those. Okay, last question, and then we'll get started with some of the content. What is the number one thing groups do to fulfill their primary purpose?
Meet regularly.
The answer was meet regularly, or conduct their recovery meetings. Correct. Okay. To summarize basically my lead-in, I feel that the foundation of NA service is the groups, the GSR and alternates, and ASCs. And they provide the local service, delivery of service in the in communities. I stated earlier, I'm going to read just the concept part. I'm going to tell you what I'm giving you. I spent a little money on you guys and provided a handout. If you don't get anything out of anything I say, hopefully you'll go home with that and it'll give you some resource material to follow up on what's discussed here today. So basically, the area that I'm talking about, group, GSR, and local service delivery, I felt was conceptualized in 5 concepts, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8. So the first concept is to fulfill our primary purpose, the NA groups have joined together to create a structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains services on behalf of the NA as a whole. And I'm going to read a few parts of this of each concept, but not the whole thing. Our fellowship's primary purpose is to carry the message that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. One of the primary means by which that message is carried, addict to addict, is in our meetings. These recovery meetings, conducted thousands of times each day by NA groups around the world, are the most important service offered by our fellowship. Okay, if anybody's following along reading, I'm jumping down to the middle of that page. We can do together what we can't accomplish separately. I'm going to read that again. We can do together what we can't accomplish separately. This is true in our personal recovery and equally true in our services. In NA communities, groups often perform basic services in addition to their meetings. But fulfillment of the full range of NA services, phone lines, H&I panels, PI work, outreach, and the rest, usually require more people and more money than a single group can muster on its own. The degree of organization necessary to carry out such responsibilities would divert most groups from carrying the NA message in their meetings. And jumping to the bottom of that page, how then can NA groups ensure the fulfillment of these services? They do so by combining their resources, joining together to create a structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains those services for them leaving the groups free to carry out their own primary responsibility. You know, this is one of the areas that I feel that here in the United States, here in the western part, states, and even in our my own region here, that we're not doing as well as we did, say, 25 years ago. You know, as it stated in there and what I read, you know, the early groups that became, you know, half a dozen or so, and they started doing services cooperatively, and then we grew into the 60s, into the 70s. By the time we hit the early 90s, which is when I got clean, you know, there were groups that had just sprouted up that had no idea what the service structure was. And it was like the area trying to reach back to the groups to get people involved. And I think that's one of the things that we can collectively work on in the regions and areas that we come from, is getting the groups, I like to call it ownership, of local service delivery again. And that's one of my points of this whole thing, is that we possibly go back again to where we're from and try to start achieving that slowly. It's not going to come overnight, but that we get the groups, you know, real interested in the service delivery. You know, just a little bit about groups. You know, I'm not going to tell you which page, about four pages down from here, but I included, there's another workshop on building strong home groups, but I gave you a list. I'm a firm believer in group inventories, you know, taking a look at your format and all of that. If you're spending a little too much for your meeting facility, therefore not being able to provide literature or donate to the service structure. And as it stated in there, one of the things in the first concept, and I believe it's part of the seventh tradition that a group sometimes doesn't consider, not all the time, but sometimes, is that the seventh tradition talks about providing the resources to the service structure. And namely, that's people, which is the part most people don't realize or understand, and of course, some money, you know, that helps pay for the literature for H&I panels and all of that stuff. Okay, the next concept we're going to talk about is two, and I have a little less on these. Final responsibility and authority for NA service rests with the NA groups. And about three sentences down is the only part I'm going to read here. Because the groups have created the service structure, they have final authority over all of its affairs. By the same token, the groups also have a final responsibility for the support of all its activities. The two go hand in hand. Ideally, responsibility and authority are flip sides of the same coin. The exercise of one is also the exercise of the other. When our groups provide the resources, conscience, and ideas, people, and money needed to fulfill NA services, they also provide direction to the service structure. And that kind of summarized or betterly stated what I was trying to state earlier after I read the first concept. You know, and again, I don't see this as much as I would like to see it, you know, in the service structure wherever I've been. You know, I see groups that throw a body into a GSR's position, send them off to the area, and don't want to give that GSR the time when they come back to the group business meeting to report on the activities. You know, they seen services provided, somebody else is doing them, and you know, and their home group doors open, the coffee's made, and they get to come whenever they can, sit down, catch 60, 40, you know, hour and 15 minute meeting, and go home and you know, about their business. And that seems to be the level. I take up the rest of this time telling you what service has done for me in my recovery, you know. And I jumped into this thing with both feet, and they told me winners were in service, you know, and they told me to stick with the winners, and I went, and that's where they were at. And you know what, it's and I felt a part of, I felt involved, you know. From my early days when I was so scared to go to a dance and I took tickets at the door, or I sold sodas and I got to meet everybody that went to the dance, you know. And, you know, I appreciated what NA did for me that first month, that first year, that first 5 years. And now that I'm coming up on 30 years in January, I'm still as appreciative of what this fellowship. Somebody was wearing a shirt, it was you, huh? I'll give up on NA when NA gives up on me last night. That was very cool. Anyway, this two-way, this two sides of a coin that this talks about, you know, I got another question for everybody. How many people have formally gone through the concept book, either in a meeting or a subcommittee or at the area level? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Cool. That's how I did it the first time it came out in 91, you know. We went through it 1 month at a time at our business meeting for about 15 minutes and studied them up, and, you know, I loved them, thought they fit with the traditions just fine, which is a controversy in our fellowship, and I think they have a lot of ideals, you know, different ideals with our own spiritual principles that were in the steps as well as the traditions, and I see them in the concepts personally. Anyway, the third concept is NA groups delegate to the service structure the authority necessary to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to it. And let's see, on the second page there is the parts I'm going to read about halfway down. To make concept three work, other concepts must also be applied consistently. Most importantly, we must give careful attention to the selection of trustworthy, trusted servants. We cannot responsibly delegate authority either to those who are fundamentally incapable of administering that authority or to those who are not willing to account fully for their actions. However, if we select our leaders carefully, choosing those who can be trusted to responsibly exercise delegated authority and fulfilling the tasks we're given them, we can feel much more comfortable with the concept of delegation. And then the last paragraph in that concept, with a third concept squarely in place, our groups are free to conduct recovery meetings and carry the NA message directly to the addict who still suffers, confident that the service structure they have created has the authority it needs to make the decisions involved in fulfilling its responsibilities. And this concept does talk about delegation. You know, but the first thing I read there was that it fits together with other concepts. And I feel sometimes the reason that groups take a step back from the service structure and don't even support their own GSR, you know, who went to the ASC, is they're like kind of taking this delegation out of context, you know. If you got a GSR that's well-trained, mentored, and there's a home group of people at the home group business meeting and they're kept informed and communicated with over time, then yes, then you can feel comfortable, just like it said that I just read, you know, that delegating. I mean, every little thing, like changing a word in a guideline at the area, the group does not need to hear about that, you know. And if the GSR has been a member of that group for a year or more and has a good understanding of how other members within his home group that he's representing or she's representing feels about certain things, then I would even feel comfortable in sending them to represent me. But when, like, you know, some guy or gal shows up at their first meeting at your group and you plug them in as a GSR and you guys have a business meeting maybe once every 6 months when you need to get a new coffee maker, I don't think that GSR is going to be armed with the information that he or she needs to be able to be delegated the authority, you know. And in a way here, I guess, with some of what I'm trying to say, you know, there were people who have said in the last few years the reason that we have apathy, and that's hopefully the last time I'm going to use that word today, in the fellowship, is that back when I got clean, my sponsor was in service and every sponsee he had was in service. You know what I'm saying? And putting it on sponsors, you know? And, you know, I don't know about that. Like, I guess what I'm part of what I'm trying to say with this first part of this workshop is that I'm throwing it back on the groups. You know, the groups, we got so many meetings these days that aren't really even groups, and what groups we have are not taking into account, you know, taking ownership of the services that we're collectively coming together to provide, and they're not sending somebody that they help. So it's a two-way street. The ASC obviously has some responsibility in training a GSR and helping them get through their activities, but I think if there's an interested home group behind the GSR with members, you know, that have been around a while, maybe they were a GSR 10 years ago. That doesn't mean you turn your back, you know? I mean, I really think, and I can't speak enough about the importance of a GSR alternate either. And in a little bit, I'm going to have somebody come up and read the GSR section from the Guide to Local Service. But anyway, we are now currently on to concept four, which talks about leadership. Effective leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership quality should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. And I've only got one sentence in there. It's about a third of the way down on the second page. Good NA leaders do not think that they have to do everything themselves. They ask for help, advice, and direction on a regular basis. And, you know, I can't speak enough about leadership. I mean, and again, I'm going to plug GSR alternates like all day long, because I think that, you know, the way that it's described in the Guide to Local Service, if you're a GSR alternate and you serve a year underneath the GSR and you go every month, that doesn't mean you sit on the sidelines and only go when the GSR calls you 15 minutes before the ASC and tells you, hey, can you cover me tonight? That's not an alternate. You know, and the GSR has a responsibility to keep that GSR alternate involved. You know, during the group's business meeting, they should be allowed to conduct, you know, part of that business meeting along with the secretary of the group, you know, or be involved in it. They should be allowed to give the report, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months out of that year. And they should also, if they do an announcement segment during their meeting, like some of the groups that I go to, they should be allowed to do that. So the minute that they are the GSR, that they hit the ground running. Because if you think about it, if you don't have an alternate, you got a GSR, they leave and there's no overlap. So a new person shows up. It could be 4 to 6 months before that new GSR that's never been an alternate, you know, is up to speed, and guess what? 6 months later, they're out of the service structure. And then imagine 10 years, maybe 2 decades, 20 years that this practice has been going on throughout every area and every region in the United States. And that, in my opinion, is pretty much where our service structure is today. And it's a shame, and it doesn't have to be that way. And the people in this room can go home this weekend, after this weekend, and we can start collectively doing something about it. We can round up 4 or 5 of our closest friends in service and start making a difference, strengthening groups, helping them understand the reason to have a GSR and an alternate, and back them the whole time that they're in their position, and send them off the area with the information, knowledge, and experience that they lend them from the group so that they can go and carry on the decision-making for our service structure at the area level where local services are provided. And the last concept that I want to talk about is the eighth concept, and that's about communication. And the eighth concept reads one sentence: our service structure depends on the integrity and the effectiveness of communication. And I marked up a bunch in here, but I'm just going to kind of ad-lib this one. Communications is like very, very important, you know. There's a few ways that I don't see done right now that could be done that might make it simpler, like a GSR report doesn't have to wait till the next group's business meeting. They could take their report and email it to all their home group members, like 3 or 4 days after they're done with their area meeting, and those home group members, for instance, could have time to look that over on their own time. You know, maybe in the evening, maybe in the morning, maybe on a lunch break from their phone. You know, we have a lot of ways to see an email these days, you know. And then when they come to the business meeting and instead of spending 15 or 20 minutes reading the report, you know, and them hearing it the first time and expect to you know, understand it completely and ask questions, you could just go into the question period. You know what I'm saying? Or make sure that anybody, just scan it over. You know, read some of the highlighted points and make sure that people understand it, you know. And we don't do that enough, you know. And I understand people's time is valuable, and usually a business meeting is after the meeting. But that's, again, the part, you know. You got people with time, 20 years, that are, well, it'll be okay. God's in charge, and we put this guy or gal in, and I want to go to Denny's, you know. And we got pie. That's something the group I go to does. Anyway, you know, and I could about strangle this guy sometimes, you know. And I'm sure you guys got the same kind of thing, a place you guys go afterwards, and you know, communication is the key. If the group doesn't know what's going on, they don't feel like they impact the decision making, they don't, you know, and it might be something said in January that comes in a motion that's voted in May. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not kept up on things, and too much of this stuff, there's no regular communication, and communication has this concept, and I would suggest highly that everybody in this room read that. You know, it's a two-way communication. A GSR is not a group messenger. You know, it isn't about going to the ASC. I'll just summarize a GSR report real quick at the area that I live in, you know. They tell you, we bought $40 worth of literature, we donated $10 to the area, all our service positions filled, we have a lot of people coming to our meeting, and everything's good, and they sit down, you know. And all that's probably true, and the group's strong and everything, but at their business meeting, they talked about changing a little bit in their format, you know. They talked about, you know, ways to add a timer, you know, to get more people to share. And these, to me, are the things that a group should bring to the area and share from one group to the other. You know, at that same group a year ago or more, we had a bunch of new people coming from a treatment center, and they didn't know better, and they'd pick up a white key tag at every meeting they came to, and I literally, they'd roll up with two vanloads of guys, right? And I mean, it was costing like $15 a week, and the rent's not cheap at this place either. It's $25 a week, and I mean, we were barely making it with no donation to the area at the time, you know. And you know, we just simply in their ear when they come up and we give them a hug. Hey, you got a white chip already? Oh yeah, yeah, I got one. Okay, and you just let them go on. And if somebody says they don't, you give them one. Instantly, we saved like $10 a month, and our literature table was full again. And we had two pots of coffee instead of one for a meeting of 100 and something people sometimes. You know, and these are the kind of things that I believe that should be shared from the group through the GSR, obviously, back to the area. And then maybe even repeat it, or maybe you reported it in February, and here's a group struggling with a white chip problem. Or, you know, we at that same meeting, we had a disruption a few months ago. Handled, by the way, textbookly, in my opinion. Both members still come to the group, and in my opinion, again, there's been no disruption of the level of recovery shared at this meeting because of it, you know. But it's a group with 20 home group members, and one of us didn't try to deal with that disruption, you know, that atmosphere recovery thing that, you know, and it was a couple guys, a little bit hot-headed, you know, and got a little out of hand, and we took it outside, and, you know, a couple weeks later, everything was cool, you know, and that's God working in our lives and doing for us what we can't do for ourselves, and, you know, luckily this group, it was my third NA meeting that I'm speaking of here. And that was 29 and change ago, you know. And so the group's been around a long time, and they have some members that have been there for years. And what I hope out of this workshop and some of you going back to your area and explaining and talking about how important the group and the GSR, qualified GSR, willing to do what it takes to fulfill the entire part of that commitment of GSR and then work with the area to provide local services is to this fellowship, you know. Remember how we all got here, you know. Each one of us individually, how you found your first meeting in Narcotics Anonymous. That's what I always like to talk about when I talk about local service delivery. Let's see. I am going to switch gears now. And so you got this big handout, about 67 originals. The next page there, and I just started copying things out of the Guide to Local Service. And before I jump into this, I'm going to tell you, everybody, in my opinion, a group should provide a GSR, a Guide to Local Service, and that GSR should pass that on to the alternate. Actually, they should have two copies. Both people should have them, and they should get passed down, like group copies that the GSR holds, because that's our service structure in a nutshell. But anyway, just in case you didn't have one or access, and if you do have a Guide to Local Service and you got a handout today, how about handing it off to somebody at your home group that doesn't have it so that they can have this material so they can look it over and become better informed and involved. But anyway, this next sheet is a two-pager about all the service bodies in our service structure, kind of a one-paragraph example on that. And the next page is the diagram from the Guide to Local Service on our service structure. And again, you'll see the group at the top, just like it should be, just like it is. And then we got that most important trusted servant, right, the GSR. And then we got the area with the subcommittees and the RCMs, and then they come to the region, and then the conference, you know. And so that kind of breaks it down in a diagram. So maybe if you got somebody that's trying to understand what the service structure is about, you can easily break this out and show them. And as you know, it's on page, I think it's on page VIII in the Guide to Local Service. The page number's on there. And I was going to talk a little bit more about groups and about the need to do, in my opinion, I'd like to say that, the need to take a look. In our personal recoveries, how do we start cleaning house, everybody? We take an inventory, right? I strongly believe in the inventory process at the group level and at the area level and in every service body in this fellowship, you know? And so anyway, I pulled this out of the Guide to Local Service. It's a single sheet on some of the questions you could ask if you did an annual inventory, or some of the questions could be asked simply at a business meeting once a month. And you might look that over. I'm going to come back to this, but the next page is from our SSP. Hopefully nobody runs for the door since I mentioned that word. But anyway, one of the areas of the SSP that I thought was real beneficial is the group support form, or the GSF. And this is why I like it. Okay, and I'm not suggesting that we go to the SSP, and this is not an SSP workshop, but what the GSF wanted to accomplish, I think could be incorporated in all ASCs there are, you know. And what that was like we talked before when we talked about communication, you know, about that two-way communication and about how the things that you talk about in your business meetings should be brought to the area. I don't know how. How many are rural setting? How many are rural here? Anybody rural? One, two? Everybody else is city folk? All right. Anyway, here in San Diego, I've been to a few meetings in LA and San Fran and in Las Vegas, of course, also. You know, pretty big cities. And we get bogged down. And everybody's in a hurry to get out of there. And you know what gets cut? Is this group-to-group communication, you know? Instead of just hearing a report from the subcommittee, have a member of that subcommittee. This is how I envisioned the GSF and some of the strengths. Would you come in and talk about the benefits of what they get out of doing H&I or a PI presentation at a school, and how they were there for an hour after it was over and kids were just lined up wanting to know, you know. They never heard of Narcotics Anonymous before, you know. And, you know, those kind of things pull on our heartstrings and get us motivated, even if we can't go do that level of service, or they're looking for a young person to go into school. We'll go back to our home group and start beating the bushes, you know, instead of just making a general announcement during announcements. And that's what I envisioned, what a support forum, a group support forum was. And I mean, the best case that I've seen is a 15-minute open forum, you know, and then as soon as you introduce the topic, there's a couple people and the chair wants to move to the next topic. I personally think half of ASCs, if they're 2 hours, 1 hour should be this group to group, you know, where groups are helping groups. Because what did we read earlier? The most important areas or the service that we do a week is the recovery meeting, right? And you know, and that's what, you know, that's what we're allowing the groups to talk about there. And I don't know. Again, in the big cities, I think that the group-to-group sharing and communication and collaboration and stuff is just not there anymore. And groups tend to have to go stub their toe and find their own solutions when another group went through that same thing a year ago, you know, and could easily have got with them after the meeting and helped them out, you know. Anyway, little plug on that. And then I did a few sections from the Guide to Local Service. I was able to reproduce them a little cheaper than there are. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I gave you this for resource material on the NA group. Like I said, there was another workshop. But I'm going to have Tina come up, and she's going to read the section on GSR and GSR alternate real quick for us.
I'm an addict. My name is Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Okay. Group Service Representative, GSR. Each group elects one group service representative. Even those groups hosting more than one recovery meeting elect just one GSR. These GSRs form the foundation of our service structure. GSRs provide constant, active influence over the discussions being carried on within the service structure. They do this by participating in area service committee meetings, attending forums and assemblies at both the area and regional levels, and sometimes joining in the work of an ASC subcommittee. If we are vigilant in choosing stable, qualified leaders at this level of service, the remainder of the structure will almost certainly be sound. From this strong foundation, a service structure can be built that will nourish, inform, and support the groups in the same way that the groups nourish and support the structure. Group service representatives bear great responsibility. While GSRs are elected by and accountable to the group, they are not mere group messengers. They are selected by their groups to serve as active members of the Area Service Committee. As such, they are responsible to act in the best interest of NA as a whole, not solely as advocates of their own group's priorities. As participants in the area committee, GSRs need to be as well informed as they can be concerning the affairs of the committee. They study the reports of the committee's officers and subcommittee chairpersons. They read the various handbooks published by the World Service Office on each area of service. After carefully considering their own conscience and what they know about their group about how their group members feel, they take active, critical parts in the discussions which form the group conscience of the entire committee. Group service representatives link their groups with the rest of the NA service structure, particularly through the information conveyed in their reports to and from the area committee. At group business meetings, the GSR report provides a summary of area committee activities, often sparking discussions among group members that provide the GSR with a feel for how the area can better serve the group's needs. In group recovery meetings, GSRs make available flyers announcing area and regional activities. At area committee meetings, GSR reports provide perspectives on group growth vital to the committee's work. If a group is having problems, its GSR can share those problems with the committee in his or her reports. And if the group hasn't found solutions to those problems, the area chairperson will open a slot of the committee sharing session agenda so that the GSR can gather the experience others have had in similar situations. If any helpful solutions arise from the sharing session, the GSR can report those back to the group. Alternate GSR. Groups also elect a second representative called an alternate GSR. Alternate GSRs attend all the Area Service Committee meetings as non-voting participants with their GSR so that they can see for themselves how the committee works. If a GSR cannot attend an Area Committee meeting, that group's alternate GSR participates in the GSR's place. Alternate GSRs, along with other members, may also serve on area subcommittees. Subcommittee experience gives alternate GSRs added perspective on how area services are actually delivered. That perspective helps them more effective. That perspective helps make them more effective area committee participants if their groups later elect them to serve as GSRs.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm ready. Getting old, brother. Anyway, okay. I want to talking a little bit about the GSR. I'm talking mainly from experience at the area that I currently live in. But a group, like I said, grab somebody who knows if they've been coming to the group regularly or not. They tell them to go to this place at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night. You know, they don't tell them that if they go 15 minutes early, there's a GSR orientation. They tell them they need to go buy literature, and here, give the treasurer this money for our donation, if they have one. And, sit there as long as you can. I mean, that really instills the idea that the group A is supporting them and, pretty much tells them they can leave whenever they want to, which is usually right after they get their literature, which some areas choose not to hand it out till the end of the meeting, which, again, I don't think is a good practice, but I'd like to see people that want to be there and want to participate and care about what's going on at the area, about local service delivery, a tool that I picked up at the conference the first time I went back in 99, the board members, they each had like four or five of us new regional delegate alternates, and we met at the Get to Know Taco function over at the office when we took our tour. We met there, and that person went with us to lunch that in between the first day of the conference, and got to, and of course we had questions after 3 hours of being in session, and she was right there to answer them, She didn't go out to eat with her friend because she knew there'd be other time for that. But it was to make us feel comfortable with her. And she sat in the conference floor right with us, using this at the area. Again, at our area, we have round tables. And you know what? You got people who arrive early that are friends with each other, have known each other for years, and they sit at the same tables. You know what I'm saying? And then you got all these new people that don't know better that show up 2 minutes before the meeting starts or 10 minutes after the meeting starts, and they get stuck in the back. And they're all sitting each other. They're all new. Most of them haven't been there more than 3 or 4 times, if that. And none of them are qualified to help somebody else. So here's a possible idea that I'm throwing out that I've seen work, again, at the conference, which is have your more established GSRs and your subcommittee chairs arrive like 10 minutes early and sit a subcommittee chair and an experienced GSR at every table in the room, and as the rest of the people get there, they'll sit with them and they'll be there throughout the meeting. And when the person when the first literature bag comes out of the literature room, hey, is that where I'm supposed to go hand in this literature order form? And you know what? Instead of having them leave the service meeting, their very first one, you offer as the experienced GSR to go take their form into the room. You follow me? And let them sit there and start soaking up the meeting. You know what I'm saying? And then afterwards, those new GSRs, see what they got out of the meeting. Do they have any questions? Exchange phone numbers, just like we did in early recovery. The same tools that work in our personal recovery work in service. And I don't see them used as much as they could be. I just don't think a 15-minute orientation that's about filling out a literature order form and where to drop off your donation is a proper GSR orientation, I would like to see them quarterly and an hour at length, and if there's nobody willing to put them on, people like myself from the region, a delegate position, I've served as a GSR probably 8 times, alternate and GSR, in my recovery, and again, I'm the delegate. I don't know, some people think, the GSR is the most important link. Without, you know, and it just frustrates me to put in the time to try to get the groups the information on the conference agenda report, for instance, or any other thing, or trying to get them involved in the writing of the new book that just came out, the traditions book, you know? I mean, the area I'm in, United East County, San Diego, was heavily involved in literature development for like 6 years, and that chair got a little burnout. Good friend of mine rotated out, and they haven't been involved since, and it's a shame. You know, I got into a spat on Facebook this week about some people saying that they, you know, this book doesn't translate it, so the internationals didn't really put in their conscience, and we had no chance to vote our opinion. And I says, no, review and input was open to any addict in this fellowship, anywhere in the world at any time, and if your response had to be translated, it would have been. And I know that for a fact. You know, and that's the difference between our literature. And if you haven't noticed in the last 10 or 15 years to where the world changed a little bit and went to a single board, and we got a little streamlined, and we picked up some best practices and started. We've had a lot of books come out, you know, Just for Today, It Works How and Why, The Step Working Guides, you know, Living Clean, The Journey Continues, and now the Traditions book, you know. Guiding principles, you know, and that's a lot of literature. I remember the first 15 years I was clean, and we had an A list, and we had a B list, and we had a C list, and I never saw another book past the, you know, we had the controversy over the third, and then the third revised, and the fourth for like a week and a half, and then we got the fifth, and that was the first 15 years of my recovery literature, you know. I think we had a few IPs come our way, but that was about it. So things are a little different today. And, you know, what I'd like to see is that same level of success. You know, the fellowship development worldwide, since we went to this new system, it's just mind-boggling. And I'm sure most of you in this room are the 5 to 10% that do most of the service, so you probably know a lot about that. You know, the 27,000 meetings a week in Iran, for instance. And, Farsi's the number two language that the basic text is sold in, and those kind of statistics, you know, it's just amazing to me, you know, and I'd like to see us pick up, you know, here in the United States. I feel that we've gone sideways as far as local service delivery. There's pockets of non-white Americans, okay, that immigrated here that aren't given the same opportunity we were to find Narcotics Anonymous and recover from the disease of addiction, you know? And, you know, here in town we have Chaldeans, you know, we have Filipinos, you know, we have some Vietnamese, and every city's got, you know, immigrant populations. You know, in East County, we had a town that until just recently had no NA meetings. And I used to go to this place at the next city over. It was kind of a biker hangout a little bit. And I would see these parents bring their teenage kids who had just gotten caught and went to drug court, where their kid dropped off, and they'd roll up and they'd see this row of Harleys and all these long-haired bikers. And they didn't know what, you know, this motorcycle club was versus a different motorcycle club's colors right on their backs. And so they'd roll up and they'd look. You ain't, and the kid would start jumping out. Oh, there's so-and-so. You ain't going here. Shut that door and take them home, you know. And that's a shame. And these are a bunch of, you know, 15 to 18-year-old kids about 20 minutes east here in a town called Santee, California, you know. And I'm sure each of us in our regions have that. You know, and this is what local service is, you know, delivery is about. And I also included the Area Service Committee section in there. You know, I'm not going to reread the GSR section. Talks about subcommittees. You know, again, think of that GSR at their first area meeting with a 15-minute orientation about where to put in their lid order, and the H&I chair starts talking. I mean, he doesn't even say hospitals and institutions when he starts speaking. He says H&I. There's a good chance that person doesn't even know what H&I is, you know? And like I said, when I was propping up the group support forum, you know, I just think like quarterly having somebody a panel member on an H&I panel come in and talk about their experience with doing that panel and reaching people, and the first time that somebody actually got out of jail and they saw them at a meeting and now that person's got 2 years clean, you know, that kind of stories. Or, you know what, I did a presentation at a high school and the kid's got 18 months now, you know. Or I was on the helpline and I talked to somebody for like an hour, and you know what, they came to my home group that Saturday night and they're still clean. You know, these are the kind of things that we should be sharing to try to explain, and then answer some questions afterward at ASCs, which we don't have time in big cities right now, you know, that I talk about group support forum type of things being integrated into our current ASC formats, you know, that I think carry a lot more results than the stuff that we're doing right now. I mean, I participated in an area for a year once, and the biggest decision we made over 12 meetings once a month was if we were going to have hot dogs and hamburgers at a Unity picnic. And by the way, we had both, but you know what? It should have taken just about that long. I mean, we wanted most to take it back to the groups, and it was a frickin' nightmare. We barely got a decision made in time for the picnic. You know, I think somebody bought both on the whim that they reimburse them. You know what I'm saying? It was ridiculous. You know, but any of the things about talking about interjecting some of these thoughts, it falls on deaf ears most of the time. And you know what? The groups is who the areas are responsible to. It's us going back to our home groups, taking a little time, helping possibly mentor a little bit the GSR of our home groups. You know, maybe jumping over to another group and doing the same thing. I don't know about your areas, but my area is 60 meetings, really. And I believe we get about 18 GSRs on a good month. And just think, if we went out, okay, and I'm going to share another tool idea that I got to next. But if we went out and over a three-year period helped 6 groups get a GSR that came and functioned and came to the meeting, we'd have 50%. You know, that's the kind of success that I would like to see, you know, I would hope for, you know, that I think that would make a significant difference. And if they came with alternates, we'd have like 30-something new people ready to go into the service structure to be trusted servants every year. And that's how we can combat this 20 years of a slide, in my opinion, that we've been on. This other tool that, you know, I'm talking about is, and I'm sure each of our areas have meetings that you might consider strong meetings with a core group of members that come regularly. They're fairly large. They donate to the structure. They always have literature. You know, they got refreshments. They're just, you know, the cool meetings or whatever. But if you want to call them that, strong meetings, I don't mean to, you know, we're as only strong as our weakest link, you know. And what I would like to, like, challenge each and every one of us, because I'm sure we go to at least one of those strong meetings a week with the people in this room. You wouldn't be sitting here in a service recovery forum if you weren't, you know, strong in your own personal recoveries, you know, and find the least, you know, struggling meeting and grab a few of your friends and not just go once. Our outreach here in town goes one time, tells them, you're not doing it right. You got to do this, and this. And it hands them, like, you know, a few pieces of literature and a group booklet, and never shows up again and wonders why that's not successful. You know, real briefly, I went to a Wednesday night group for a year. I didn't speak at the business meeting for the first 6 months. And I viewed, again, I did a little personal scan of our area, and in my opinion, Wednesday was the weakest night of the week in recovery out in East County, you know. And so I wanted to try to do something about that, you know. And I was always told when I first got here that if you didn't like something in NA, you jumped right in the middle of it, you know. And I don't see that done enough around here anymore either. But so I went to this group, and I knew the Living Clean book was about ready to come out in about 4 months. You know, the car had just come out, and I really wanted them to think about, Not just do what Don wanted to do. That ain't how we do things around here, you know. But I wanted to suggest, you know, that they consider maybe a format change for the meeting and become a Living Clean meeting. And, you know, unfortunately, they didn't want to have a business meeting. They didn't want to get together. They didn't want to consider it. And, I mean, this meeting met outside of a tattoo shop under a tent, and it was like 45 degrees out. I mean, people were bundled up like we were in frickin' Alaska at this meeting, you know, and they didn't provide us, we paid for it to have a heater, and we didn't get it, you know. Anyway, I ended up grabbing about 11 other people, and the 12 of us started a Wednesday night group called The Living Clean, The Journey Continues, and, you know, it's still going on Wednesday nights, and, you know, And as far as I know, the GSR, I was the first GSR of that group, and the GSR still is involved in the area. And, you know, I did one, you know, somewhat on my own. And that's why I believe this will work, you know. And we can take an 18-person representative ASC and turn it into a 32 out of a 60-meeting area, you know, and make a difference in a three-year period, you know. Okay, going back to what I'm handing out to you. So the area section there is quite large, and I, you know what, it was just easier to include the whole thing, so I did, instead of trying to cut and paste parts that I wanted to talk about. And I figured, again, like I said early on, that if there's nothing else you get out of this workshop, you get a nice handout with about $20 worth of material in it, free. The next thing is probably an item that not a lot of you probably are familiar with, but maybe some of you are. It's called the Area Planning Tool. How many people in this room know what the APT or Area Planning Tool is? 4, 5, 6. I'd love to hear that, young lady. That's awesome.
That's the first time in 4 years
I've done it. Awesome. But this was the first planning tool that came. Well, it's at the end of.
Very hard to find if you don't know a page
number. There's not really a page number. It's if you're in the area section, it's after 60. Anyway, this is an interactive workshop and an all-day event that helps an area plan for all their local service delivery. You know. It allows for a treasurer of the area to impact the financial impact of some of those project plans. And it pretty much suggests that you operate at an area level like we do at the World Service Conference. You know, where actual project plans from the subcommittees could be handed out in a form of an area agenda report could be handed out to the groups like 2 months prior to this annual assembly in the area, and they could get familiar with the plans. They could send their GSR back the second, you know, the middle month before the assembly and ask questions about them and get answers, you know, and give direction to kind of prioritize those project plans. And this, you know, an assembly like this that's interactive would be open to anybody that wanted to come in the area. And in one fell swoop, in 1 8-hour day, the groups could then impact pretty much the service delivery in an area for an entire 12-month period. And I've been fortunate enough to see this in action in other areas, not here in San Diego. And it's tremendous. I mean, it's amazing. They use this pretty much routinely overseas. And if you're here and you're a member of a subcommittee or some other committee or board here in Narcotics Anonymous, this base here, the area planning tool, has been updated to Planning Basics. It came out in 2011. It's a little colorized. It's nice. And it kind of does the same thing. It talks about taking an inventory. And I mean, we all know that, you know, in our personal recoveries, how do we start cleaning house? We take an inventory. I mean, here in San Diego, bringing up the word inventory at a service committee meeting is, you know, like telling them you want to shoot them all or something. It's amazing. It blows me away. And then the word budget, you know. I mean, they would rather, you know, deal with two or three money motions a month for 12 months than do a frickin' budget once a year and only vote on changes when necessary. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, people want to get out of these service meetings. Well, I want to see them do something every month, too. There's got to be a compromise. And using tools like the area planning tool is how we become effective in our service efforts. With less people, less money, more effective delivered services, you know. And I'm a strong proponent of the area planning tool, taking an area inventory and then monitoring the progress of that approved plan throughout the year. And that's what a GSR then goes back to his group, who told him these are the projects that we're high on, and him coming back after the area planning tool workshop, the assembly, and say this is what was approved, and then them at the group, hey, how's that new project that H&I was going to do? Did they get that meeting open at such and such? That's the kind of interest at the group level that I'm hoping that we can achieve here in the Western states and then be an example to the rest of the United States. Some other things that I got in here, because I got about...
Is it what the GSRs do, or, you know, you talk about inventory, do you do it with inventory, or...
Earlier, about the fourth sheet in the packet was about a group inventory, and this is about an area inventory. So yes, the GSRs, most of the use of the area planning tool that I've seen is open to every member that's in the room, is able to speak and vote. If an area doesn't feel comfortable with that, they might actually, you know, have the final voting on plans be GSR, or in the case of some areas, do full participation but not visitors, you know, so subcommittee chairs, vice chair, treasurer, and secretary, and the GSRs would vote. But that's up to the individual areas exactly on their voting preferences. But anyway, right after the area planning tool, probably not a lot of you. Well, I'm going to see. I've been amazed so far that six of you knew what the APT was. How many know anything at all about the suggestion in the Guide to Local Service about the use of Metropolitan Service Committees? Damn, we got two of them. Two and a half, maybe. Right on. Okay, again, going back to the word SSP, there was some talk about making ASCs be local service boards and committees, okay? And that was to group like areas together. And in a way, that idea has really been in the Guide to Local Service the whole time, and it's called Metro Services, okay? And... you know, I know Detroit tried for a hot minute before they split off and became a donut hole area, region, to be a Metro Services of the Michigan region. I do not know of another in the U.S. example, but I very much could be wrong, of the use of Metro Services. But again, most of us, except for a couple, one gentleman I know of and probably a couple other people now, we're in cities, you know. And in cities, the whole thing that to break down what I thought of the SSP in general was less chiefs, more Indians, more people out there actually doing service delivery and less people sitting around in monthly meetings trying to tell the other people how to go out and do the service delivery, you know? And that is what the Metro Services model accomplishes too, you know, in a way. It allows, we have 10 areas in this region. So imagine on H&I, we've got 10 chairs, hopefully 10 vice chairs, which we don't have, maybe 10 secretaries. So that's like 30 people who probably aren't leading a panel or on a panel. Maybe they are, you know, and H&I probably wasn't the best one to use for this, but, you know, that are taken out of the service structure. In this region, we have north, two areas in the north, and eight areas here in the south. And we literally could become two metro, maybe three metros, to where we'd have three chairs and three committees that would deliver services. We already took this giant step this last year and a half to roll under a PR umbrella here in San Diego. And that's not going to be part of this workshop, but I'm all for that too. You know, again, we're talking about efficient service delivery with limited resources, money, and people. And how can we do more with less? You know, and to me, it's plan before you act. You know, and I know. I just got elected again to be the alternate delegate of this region, and I'm going to try Metro Services one more time. I'm probably going to wait a month or two before I bring it up, but you know what? I think it's, again, something we should consider here in San Diego, and I hope you folks look over the handout on that, read it. In the Guide to Local Service, there's more than what I gave you here. There's a part about to Metro or not to Metro. You know, pluses and minuses, how you would go from an area to a metro. Okay, it's all in there. The Guide to Local Service is a phenomenal tool that, you know, I mean, that's the best present you could give somebody when they got a year clean, if you ask me. But anyway, there's a couple other things I got you, and then I'm going to fill out the rest of the time with questions. There towards the end, there was a couple of IDTs that were done back in 2008, building communication and also leadership. And I gave you the handouts that were for that. So they're there again to read over. We have these, they're actually white and they're kind of a wide trifold. Some people have probably seen them. The front looks like that. Anyway, there's one on principles and leadership in NA service, and I Xeroxed that and stuck it on the back for you. So I guess I want to finish up before I take any questions and just tell you like what my challenge is. And my challenge is that we all go home, you know, and we try to gather up some people that are somewhat like us, you know, devoted to this fellowship, willing to do whatever it takes to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, and find that weakest group in your area and make a commitment to go there on a regular basis and get to know, you know, the people that are been there, you know, and slowly go out to coffee with them, get there early and talk to them, share in the meeting a few times in the recovery section, you know, and slowly, you know, invite them to come to your home group the night the business meeting is. Actually offer to give them a ride. They'll stay for the business meeting to get the ride home. You know, show them how some other group does it differently before you even talk to them about, you know, let them ask you the question, you know, by giving them a different example, you know, of how another group. They might not have ever been to your group that you, you know, mainly go to, you know, and I think things will start to change, you know. You know, the ideal would be, like I said, like six groups per year, if, you know, per area would make a huge difference after 3 years. You know, if all the groups that go now could bring alternates, but take a year to do that one, we'd be so much better served, you know. And I believe that we'd be able to fulfill our primary purpose at a far greater level than we currently are. And that would be my hope. And, you know, I always look around at people and I call them FONA, or Future of Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, I'm 55, coming up on 30 years clean. And you know what, when I go to meetings these days, in town, out of town, you know, events or whatever, I'm looking for that next generation. You know, I'm looking for that younger person that's, you know, coming up on 3, 4, 5 years, still in their 20s. You know, just like I was when I got here, you know, and finding that next wave, you know, and hopefully getting them to buy into this thing called Narcotics Anonymous and be that next generation, you know, Future of Narcotics Anonymous. Anyway, I think we got about 10 minutes and I'm open to questions. Here's the thing about questions, though. You got to come up here so that we can record you. And then I'll try to answer. So if you guys, because I don't think I can take, can I carry this thing around?
No.
I can? I lied. I'm headed back to you now, brother. Here I go.
I don't know if I lied. I just didn't know any of the answers. Just introduce yourself to my man.
Hey, my name's Tomas Amatic, and I was wanting to know what you, we didn't get one of those booklets. We came in late, but we wanted to know what IDT stands for, and I wanted to know what you meant by the Metropolitan. Is that an extension or a tool to help with the service system project?
Okay, I'll answer those. What IDT is information discussion topic. Issue discussion topic, and there's usually two per conference cycle. And I think there are actually, maybe there's three this year, and two of them are being workshopped here at this event. And there'll probably be workshops up in your region on them this year, too. And you can go to NA.org to the, there's a section there that has all of the issue discussion topics for the last 15 or 20 years, and you can take a look at those.
One more thing. You said the Metro, what is it?
Okay, Metro service idea is, it's like an ASC. It's not an RSC, it's not an ASC. It's like halfway in between. Yeah, it's a way, your areas would still deal with the groups, but your H&I, for your area, you're in San Fernando,
yeah.
For West Hills, for SGV, and let's just stick with those three. That's a big geographical thing.
Yeah.
So we got those three areas. They would combine for a Metro services. So they had Metro H&I, Metro PI or PR. They'd have, you might choose to keep activities, one in each of your areas. You don't, every service area does not have to be Metro.
That's okay? A good idea.
But
I heard
it
that
shares.
Guy talking about it earlier, where they combine PI in two or three.
Yes.
And we have like, the West End, San Fernando Valley, and Santa Clarita, that would be good for them.
Yes, and down in Orange County, you got South Orange County, and you got North Orange County. Did I miss somebody else that previously had their hand up, or? I guess this thing records.
Sure it does. I'm recovering addict. My name's Dee. And thanks, Don, for everything you shared. I think you hit on some really important things. And one of the things that you talked about really struck me that you were talking early on about how sometimes we talk about back in the day, you know, my sponsor was in service and her sponsor was in service and everybody, you know, worked together when we were in service. And I think in a lot of places that was true. But the difference between then and now, I mean, that was 25, 30 years ago when we were still developing NA. In a lot of communities. So we had this sort of pioneering spirit and this goal of getting, you know, one meeting every day. And we don't have that same sort of challenge today. So I think we have to come up with new challenges to you know, sort of spark our interest and spark our ability to be involved. And I love your ideas about you know, going out and helping support groups that are struggling. Jeff and I are in the same area. And we're, you know, whispering back and forth about some of those ideas. And you know, it can be exciting just to start doing something new like that. So.
Oh, here we go. We're real close.
Love I'm that. Jeff. I'm an addict.
Hey, Jeff.
And I also want to thank you, Don. Thank you very much. I want to make a comment and then ask a question. My comment is I really appreciated what you said about, was it the second concept, delegation, but not to the individual, the groups delegating the responsibility to the area to provide services, but on the flip side of that, the groups need to support the area so that this area can provide those services. Because we had an experience where we were trying to do adopt a panel in H&I, and a long time, someone who has more clean time than you, that was a member of my home group, said, well, we delegate that responsibility to the area. And I said, yeah, but Donna, the groups aren't supporting the area, so we can't be providing those services. She went, oh, that's a very good point. So that's an important dynamic that we need to keep in mind. My question is, sometimes in my area we have a I wouldn't say tension, but a competition for time at the ASC between the groups. And I really like what you said about group-to-group information, and we're starting to do that more in our area. But the subcommittees, and the chair reads this report that we've already all read, and there's a lot of time taken up there. Do you think that it's a good idea to have a kind of a group support forum separate from the ASC? I know you set your stated preference was to incorporate it, and we're trying to do that, but people don't want to meet for 2.5 or 3 hours. And so there's a problem there. I mean, do you understand my question?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. I would be okay with a separate group support forum. Obviously, most of the areas and regions in the United States didn't agree with me. You know, we did get it approved as an option, and I don't know of anybody taking that option now. So hence my suggestion that we try to incorporate some of the ideals from the group support forum in our current ASCs. In answer to your question, one solution, because many ASCs meet every other month, so a possible idea is to do subcommittee work and stuff at the area on one, and then group stuff on the other one would be one possibility. Something we've done here in San Diego at the regional level is we put all the H&I, PI helpline under the umbrella of PR, and they meet separate and only come as one person, so that's lessened the load. But that was at our region. We haven't been able...
We're moving to that in our area.
So that's a possibility that's going to free up your subcommittee part. So those are a couple thoughts, but every other might work, you know.
Thank you.
How are we doing on 115, everybody? I don't want you to miss the next one.
I just have a comment about GSF.
Yes.
I'm an addict. My name is Bruce.
Hey,
Bruce. So we do use the GSF in our area, and it works very well. We use an hour for the groups to exchange ideas and information, and then we go into our area, and it works fabulous. I mean, it's probably the most well-spent hour in that whole area.
And which area is that?
It's Peninsula area.
Awesome, Mary. Good thank coverage. Thank you.
Where's that?
Peninsula area.
Northern California.
Up in Northern Cal, just north of San Jose.
Hi, Natalia Attic. More of a comment than a question. So I don't currently live in the rural area, but I used to. I used to live in Humboldt. And I actually facilitated a workshop on rural services a couple of WSLDs ago. And one of the things I learned in the course of my research for that workshop is that in Mendocino County, the Fort Bragg Fellowship is geographically only divided by, you know, some period of miles from the rest of the county. But for a drive, because it goes through the mountains, it's like an hour drive to get to the rest of their area. And so Fort Bragg has what they call a coastal service co-op, which pretty much predates the SSP, but it's like the same kind of stuff, the group service units. I can never remember if it's GSF or GSU or whatever the heck it is, but one of those GS somethings. But what they have is they have the groups and meetings that they have their own like activities committee just for that town. They have a certain number of services that they provide just in their particular town, and then they send like one liaison to area service from the whole like that part of the county, but they pretty much provide their own services there. But you know, and of course they don't put out their own phone line or have their own website or anything like that, but they have their own services, and then the way they're accountable is through this liaison that goes to the area. So it's like kind of...
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. What she was talking about, co-ops and stuff, there's three different ideals in the Guide to Local Service about rural NA, you know, and she just explained one of them, you know. And so again, that book is fabulous. You're clean, buy it for every sponsor you got, hand it out. It's a good gift around here. Anybody else got a question? Because I think we're at 1:15. Listen, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out. It's been a wonderful time. I know I was long-winded and I talked a lot, and I just like thank you for supporting.
You did great.
All right. Here you go, brother.
Thank you, Don.